Leading Edge Medicine provides only general medical information. Since everyone's individual situation is unique, you should consult your own physician before taking any action related to your personal health. All content of this program is intended for general informational purposes only. Good morning and welcome to Leading Edge Medicine with Dr. Jerry Mixon and Dr. Samira Umat. Leading Edge Medicine is sponsored by Longevity Medical Clinics and is devoted to helping you feel and function better tomorrow than you do today by providing the newest and most advanced medical care designed to improve both your body and your brain. Leading Edge Medicine will keep you informed regarding the very latest developments in science and medicine while highlighting some of the Northwest's most prominent physicians. All while helping you separate the science from the silly and the facts from the fiction. This is live call-in radio at its very best, giving you the opportunity to participate in the show. Now, here are your hosts for Leading Edge Medicine, Dr. Jerry Mixon and Dr. Samira Umat, along with their co-host, Lynette Morgan.
Medicine. My name is Lynette, along with two doctors in the studio today. Dr. Samira Umat is in India, having a wonderful time there, I'm sure. And we have Dr. Jerry Mixon here, along with Dr. Michael Gilbert from Northwest Vision Institute, getting his earphones in because he's an eye doctor. He's not an ear doctor. All things
perfect.
Good. Everybody can hear. So welcome, Dr. Gilbert.
Good morning.
To the show, Leading Edge Medicine. And let me real quick give the phone number so we can get some folks on our call queue. The number to call with your questions about your eye health or anything about your health as you're aging. Here's that number for the show today, 206-421-5757. That's 206-421-5757. Give us a call with your questions. We would love to talk with you. We'll get you into the call queue so that we don't run out of time at the end of the show, because that can happen.
It does.
All right.
Happen.
Yes. So Dr. Michael Gilbert, you are just back from a wonderful adventure that you had this summer. I remember you talking about this, but you did it.
Over many years, my wife and I have done domestic and international biking trips, and some of the most memorable was New Zealand, Tuscany, from going from Berlin to Budapest. But this year, I took several years off just because of some cancer in the family. But that problem went away. So my friend said, "So you must come." So with some historical biking friends, we biked from Amsterdam to Bruges, Belgium, so through the Netherlands, past windmills, and it's really quite fabulous. A lot of farming country, weather was beautiful, and I chose to go along because I knew my biking prowess had slipped a bit from neglect, and I knew such a trip to the Netherlands was surely going to be quite flat.
I love that idea.
I knew this was going to be less of a challenge and just right for me.
So. I love that idea that you were actually had the canal boats go along.
Wow.
So you're riding along beside the canal.
Right. Oh.
And then at night you get on the canal boat to sleep.
You have a gourmet breakfast and get on your bikes and you bike all day and you pull up and there's your suite again.
I just got to ask,
nice
though.
Yes, ma'am.
Dr. Gilbert, did you have a basket with flowers in it as like so many of those in the Netherlands do as they're biking?
No, you had
panniers and biking things.
I tried to have the least amount of weight. I was pulling my own weight, which I thought was quite enough. Yeah. And so I have enough of a wind profile that I didn't want to add flowers and baskets.
Okay, that's what I remember seeing. And
besides that, my self-image would disallow me
that's
driving
true.
Along.
You're too
with,
masculine
I mean,
for that.
Give me a break.
With a wicker basket and
I just,
flowers?
That sounds like a Tim Waltz thing. I couldn't ask him about the flowers and the bike.
Wonderful.
As long as there was no woman to slap.
No.
Right.
No.
Mm.
Righto.
Yep. But when I remember bicycles and the Netherlands.
Yeah.
In Amsterdam, the bicycles will run you over.
They will. Oh, yes.
It's a very bicycle-rich community.
Yeah. You know, and the cars constant will stop. Close. But the bicycles, they won't zip right on by. And if you're in the way, tough luck.
Right.
Yes.
Independent of any traffic laws.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah, the traffic laws don't seem to apply to the
very
bicycles.
High volume and not quite the road bikes and mixed function bikes that we have here. It's a little bit different, quite a
old
bit
fashioned 1950s. Well, old, type.
Exactly my point.
Yes,
I was really surprised.
With
I was
families,
thinking, you know, where's the you know where's the cutting edge you know high tech bikes?
No.
That
right. I get the impression that in Amsterdam they pass the bikes down from generation to generation.
Yeah.
You know, father to grandchild or something.
So,
I don't know.
You would be laughed off the trail here in the Northwest, okay. Right?
Yes, you would. But then, you know, they don't wear spandex there either.
No.
They're just wearing ordinary clothes.
And no helmets, I noticed a lot of them. And their bike...
Isn't that interesting?
Yes.
Exactly true.
The biking lanes are about three times the width of ours here because there are many more bikers.
They're the size of regular traffic lanes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, instead of bikes single file,
right,
they're three, four abreast.
Right, yes. Exactly.
Yeah. Wow, yeah. What an adventure.
Yes, indeed.
Oh, glad you're back and no bumps or bruises or falling
none.
Off. Wonderful.
I had a strict rule. If there was any rain, I was going to stop. I breached my rule a little, but not a lot.
Okay.
And, for a little drizzle.
Sure enough, the one time where I was... Some were joshing me. Oh, it's just a little rain. Why don't you come on? I said, nah, well, I don't know. Oh, well, I guess it's not so bad. And then a friend of mine who was a little behind came up, and he had taken a fall in the wet and had cut his hand open. So
very good.
I decided I was right.
You were decided. You did that right. And look at this. The phone lines have already lit up with all sorts of questions for the doctors. Okay. And our very first one on the phone from Renton is Chris. Chris calling in for Dr. Michael Gilbert. Welcome to the show, Chris.
Hello, good morning, Chris.
Good morning, and thank you for taking the call.
How can we help?
Well, I am a patient of Dr. Gilbert. Excuse me. I just got my refractive lens exchange surgeries here the last 2 weeks, 3 weeks, excuse me. And I wanted to share what a fantastic experience I've had and make sure that the word gets out there that there's nothing better and I've never had a better experience.
Oh, that's awesome.
So
please.
I'm so glad you called, Chris. You're very kind. Chris is a very enthusiastic speaker. But he's quite right. So many patients have a powerful life change. Because your vision, you use every waking hour of the day, and it often slowly declines, starting in your 40s, and every year it's a little bit worse. And I know that's what you were experiencing, wasn't it, Chris?
Oh, I can't. There's not a will experience. I can tell you what I have experienced thus far, and you already know this, doctor. The change from what I was before I came in to what I am now is... remarkable, to say the least. And again, I can't emphasize enough, and I already told you this in the office, how good your staff is and how proficient and how thorough every part of this process has been. And I just want to say, for those people that are looking for a new ophthalmologist or a new eye doctor, that you cannot get better service. I'm not paid for this, I swear to you guys.
So I was going
to
say, we're not related, right, Chris? You'll share
no,
that.
No, we're not related.
he didn't.
The vision change is so extraordinary
right
now.
Right.
It's remarkable. I can't emphasize enough how much this is. I don't want to overstate it, but this is life changing, and it was worth every minute of it. Mm-hmm. And for those people that are out there that are somewhat squeamish about their eyes, Dr. Gilbert is so patient and gentle in this process that there is nothing to fear. I can see beautifully. I can read. I sit in front of a computer. Things are clear. It's just amazing to me. I cannot emphasize that enough.
Oh, I love that.
Wonderful.
And I echo that. Chris, I had my surgeries with Dr. Gilbert last year and Dr. Mixon too. So thank you for that.
Yeah.
Absolutely. For anybody that's questioning it, go for
Chris
it.
Has,
absolutely. 100%.
Advantages of choosing to do this earlier than some. We were talking in the prior program about those who put off risk as the risk increases. And those of us who I did mine in my 50s because I knew that once done, as Chris, once done, highest likelihood is what he's describing should last the rest of his life. Highest likelihood.
Yes, yes.
The implant doesn't change. Your old lens gets a little bit worse every year. And during that process, you can choose to step off that downward train and get it fixed. And once fixed, highest likelihood is it should be stable the rest of your life.
You know, for me, the dramatic change was how bright and crisp colors were.
Yes.
Yeah.
You know, my my very early cataract was basically just yellowing of the lens.
Yeah.
And so I didn't have a dark, dense, but my lens had just turned yellow. And what was happening was it was like wearing sunglasses 24/7. And what pushed me into surgery was my wife and I had bought a house, and I was trying to put up the curtains, and they had these little tiny black screws that I had to put in. And I couldn't see them in the dim light. And I had to have my younger wife with her 30-year younger eyes get up to actually put the lenses in. And that's what convinced me, all right.
Oh, wow.
I've got to go take a look at this. Went in, said, yep, you know, your lenses are yellow. Let's fix it. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden, blue was blue. Yellow was yellow. Green was green. I mean, all of the colors.
And because those colors had changed so slowly over decades,
yes,
you didn't realize.
No, I did not.
Yeah.
I show people that in on a video. We have a video hooked to my microscope, and I show them, here's your yellow lenses. You don't know they're yellow now, but when we do the first eye, you'll be surprised at the color change.
And that was the shock to me, was that those brilliant, crisp colors came back suddenly.
Mm-hmm. Now, it's not fair to share without Chris's permission, but Chris had less color change, I believe, but much more dramatic prescription vision change. He had the kind of lens change that in youth, he could see distance, intermediate, near, everything. And then every year, it was getting worse, and it was to the point where he had to wear glasses all of the time for everything. Right, Chris?
Absolutely spot on, 100% correct. The clarity is amazing. The colors are coming back. I will echo what Dr. Mixon said as well.
Right. Very good.
Well, thank you for the
very
call.
Cool.
Yes, Chris, thank you for that.
You've made my day. Thank you very much.
Yes.
And you've made the rest of my life, so it's fair.
God bless you.
I love that, and I echo that, too. I remember, Dr. Gilbert, when I was asking some of your patients that were in there, you know, what, do you have any questions? You know, is there anything you would have done differently? All of them said, I wish I would have done this sooner.
Sooner. That's
sooner.
Right.
Sooner. And they
Isn't
were like,
that,
life-changing,
you know,
and sooner.
I don't say that enough. That's the one most common comment I get afterwards. I wish I hadn't put this off.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. All right. Well, you got questions about cataracts, RLE, anything about the eyes. Dr. Gilbert is here this week. Here's that number to call and get through with your questions. 206-421-5757. We'll be right back. My name is Lynette here along with Dr. Jerry Mixon and the eye doctor, eye surgeon, eye extraordinaire, Dr. Michael Gilbert. And I can say that because he's my doctor too, right?
Yep.
So it's okay. Yeah.
Thank you.
And Dr. Mixon's doctor. All right. We've got some more eye callers. So let's go to the phones. Very good. We've got our next caller here. Good morning and welcome to Longevity, John from Tacoma.
Morning, John.
Hello, John.
Yeah, good morning. Yeah, I got a question, you know, about cataract surgery.
Yes.
It's actually for the wife. The eye doctor sent her over to the Cataract Institute here in Tacoma for cataract evaluation.
Okay.
And so I guess I'm wondering about the different type of lens you can get.
Sure.
Maybe specifically the going with monovision type of lenses
Okay.
It's our understanding that so she wouldn't have to use glasses. Mm-hmm. So I was wondering what you could tell me about that.
Sure. Glad to. Monovision certainly works. Many people like it. But I think it's a wisdom to have tried it out before you have it put permanently in your eyes. Because monovision, by definition, mono, meaning one, means one eye is set for distance, the other eye for reading, right? So that can work. The brain is quite happy because it has an automatic filtering of that which you're not focusing on. So it preferentially weights the vision toward your attention. If you're driving, it's going to weight the eye for driving. If you're reading, it's going to de-emphasize the data that's coming in from the distance eye. So it can work. But many people can't tolerate it. Many people are frustrated by the fact that it inherently degrades or vastly reduces your depth perception. Human depth perception comes from binocular vision. Both eyes seeing the same thing from slightly different angles, and your brain processes that differential, and you and I know that as depth perception. Whether you're parking the car, pouring coffee in the cup, that all involves depth perception, deciding, you know, exactly where something else is in space as you're dealing with those differences. So if you change that binocular input to monocular, the brain has to use completely different, less precise cues.
Yeah.
And some people are uncomfortable with the loss of depth perception. Maybe it's because of walking up and down stairs or a carpet on the floor or things like that. So if I'm going to do monovision, then I have patients try it out with a contact lens first. Even though it's compromised by wearing with your cataracts, at least they get the sense of what that would be. You'd use the dominant eye for distance, the non-dominant eye for near. But I have to tell you, with the advent, you know, I used to do a lot more monovision than I do today. Today, I take patients who are currently happy with their monovision in contacts, but are aware of the compromises and loss that they're accepting with that.
Hey, doctor.
And we do binocular distance with a lens that gives you a range of vision with each eye. So the advantage of monovision is
you can
do it with a less expensive implant.
Yeah.
But if you're asking what gives you better vision, well, not everyone tolerates monovision. And of those who do tolerate it, many are dissatisfied over time. Monovision works great when you're in your 40s because each lens, each natural lens, has a range of vision. And so it can be overlapping. You don't need as much mono vision.
Hey, doctor.
Okay. But and John, you had a question for the doctor?
Yeah. I was trying to say, I can't hear him hardly, so I was, I'm not sure what's going on with the phone here. Maybe I need to hang
Can you hear me
call
now?
Back in, because I just can't hear him.
You are fainter to us.
Yeah, you're
too.
Very, very quiet.
Yeah, so I think this is coming from your phone, because you're faint for us.
Yeah, maybe I should just hang up and I'll try and call back.
Yes, call Very us good. Right back, John,
and then,
okay?
Then we can pick up just... and you can ask me what you want about implants for your wife.
Yes.
Yeah, okay, I'll just call back.
A different phone.
Anything.
Yes, different phone.
Yes,
all
thank
right,
you.
Very good. I could just barely hear him in the background trying to talk. All right, we'll take another call about ice and we'll get back. Hopefully
Great.
John will get on a bigger, better phone there or better reception. Let's stay in Tacoma. Werner has an eye question as well. Welcome to Leading Edge Medicine, Werner.
Thank you. Could you tell me, good morning, if I've had floaters since I was a child and they seem to be getting a little worse. I don't know if you could maybe talk about that, but also to clear safety glasses, if they do anything for UV protection.
Sure. Maybe the last one first. Safety glasses don't necessarily have UV protection, but certainly can be had with UV protection. So that's something you want to choose. You should be able to rely on the label, but unfortunately, since many things are made in China, and the rigors of quality control may not be the same, we actually have a meter where we check and confirm such things. If they're prescription, then they are, by law, they have to be UV protected if they say they are. So, you know, it depends on what safety glasses. But safety glasses aren't inherently UV protected, but they certainly, certainly can be. So that's a choice in the quality and how and where you get them. So floaters, you mentioned a change in floaters. It didn't sound like there was a dramatic or recent change. I think the one thing that also always has to be said about floaters is if you have any change in the floaters, then you have to have that checked out, because a change in floaters can mean, although statistically not common, but it can mean a change in the retina, which could be a minor tear, it could be just a little hemorrhage, and it could be as much as a retinal detachment. So that needs to be checked out if there's a change. Sounds like yours has been relatively stable, and so you have a choice. You either put up with them, and some people think that nutrition makes a difference, no good studies on that. Some people think hydration makes a difference, almost certainly no difference in that. What will affect them, there is one way to clean up floaters, and that's to do what's called a vitrectomy. That's where they put probes in the back of the eye, suck out all of the fluid that which carries the floaters, and replaces it. It's kind of like doing an oil change. But fortunately, once that's changed, you've eliminated the floaters and you've eliminated the cause of floaters being created. So the likelihood of more floaters after you've done that goes approaches zero. Sometimes with situations like yours, if there's a particularly problematic floater, like, you know, I was looking at one this week and it was kind of tethered to the center, hanging right in the middle of the patient's vision. And I said, you know, I have a laser. We can get rid of that floater. So I can break it loose, but I can't eliminate it. What I can do is fractionate it, break it up.
Let it fall to the bottom.
And push it to, and I can kind of push it toward the bottom. So I can reduce the burden. But in a situation like yours, where you have a host of floaters that have been stable for a long time, the brain often just tends to filter it out, except in certain visual situations, like looking at a clear blue sky or a clear movie screen or something like that, you'll see them. Most of the time, the brain filters out your perception of them. But if they are bothersome, the risk of doing that vitrectomy used to be pretty high. The risk is a retinal detachment. But I think that statistical risk has improved a great deal. It's still not a low-risk surgery. But if they're highly bothersome, then that's quite definitive and would get rid of them.
Does that answer your question?
Okay. Thank you so much.
And if you're considering having that done, a retina specialist would be the place to do it. General ophthalmologist generally does not do that.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you.
Is that what you call it?
Vitrectomy. V-I-T-R-E-C-T. So vit is for the vitreous.
Humor. Yeah.
E-C-T means cutting it out.
Aha, the ectomy part.
Right.
All right. Thank you, Dr. Michael Gilbert. And thank you for the call, Werner. Lots of good information there. We have John back on the line, and we're going to take a quick break, and we will be back with
Perfect.
John to continue talking about that cataract surgery, what would be best for his wife. And then we're going to talk about DHEA. And Dr. Mixon, you know I love saying that big word.
Dehydroepiandrosterone.
Yes, dehydroepiandrosterone. I just botched it there. That's why I'm not the doctor. I'm the host. And we'll talk about that in just a bit right here on Leading Edge Medicine. You stay there, and we will be back with more in just a moment.
Show you this, I can help. I got two strong arms.
Medicine. My name is Lynette. Welcome to the show. And here is that phone number to get through with your question for Dr. Jerry Mixon or Dr. Michael Gilbert today. 206-421-5757. That's 206-421-5757. Okay, and we got John back. Let's hope we got a better reception with John. John, I hope you can hear us.
Welcome back. John. Let's hear what you sound like.
Yes, I can hear you.
Oh, right. Wonderful.
So you can you hear me?
Yes.
Perfect.
Okay.
All right. So next steps, tell me where we are with your wife and what options they've given her in terms of lens options.
Yeah, we just went over the initial evaluation, and we tried to educate herself a little bit beforehand, and she was interested mainly in getting, I guess it's called the mono vision, where you have a distance lens in one eye.
Has she ever done mono vision before?
No.
So as I mentioned, I want to make sure you heard me. I don't think it's unreasonable. I have happy monovision patients. However, in more contemporary practice, I take patients out of their monovision and deliver binocular range of vision as being superior rather than keeping their monovision. I give them the option, and when they hear about the advantages of getting the eyes to work together for distance, together for reading, obviously that's going to give you ultimately superior vision. And there's nothing wrong with monovision, except it is a compromise in your depth perception. And, you know, if one eye is stronger than the other, then where are you going to assign the weak? Are you going to have weak reading or weak distance? So many people benefit from having both eyes working together, and that's how our brains were designed. So I do many more patients that way than I used to, when monovision was the only way that historically that was the only way we could deliver simultaneously distance and near with implants. Today we have much better technology. So it's not a terrible decision, but I think unless she has tried it, then I would want to have her try it to make sure that she's comfortable with it. Not everyone is. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that's basically
the alternative. Is you use one of the lenses that gives you the ability to see a range of vision with each eye, and then you can target them together.
Is the concern for monovision a cost saving because you can use simpler lenses, or what? Why are you considering monovision as opposed to a range of vision so you can see both distant and close with both eyes?
Well, to be honest with you, when her sister had some cataract surgery a few years ago, and as she explained to us, that's what she had was monovision, a distance lens in one eye, a near vision lens in one eye, and she she doesn't wear glasses anymore. She can see distance, she can see close, etc. So we went in there that with the intention of that's kind of what the wife wanted to get. To be honest with you, we don't know much about it. So that's why we were asking them about
that. Many people are happy with it, and the only caution is your wife isn't her sister, so she ought to try it with a contact lens even for a few hours in a clinic somewhere, so that she says, yeah, this would be okay, I can do this. Or some people find that it's very disquieting and can't tolerate it at all. You don't want to find that out after you've had surgery.
Personally, I want my depth perception.
Right.
I want to be able to tell how close and far things are, even if it's as simple as screwing in a light bulb or doing something when I'm trying to reach out and touch something. The lack of depth perception would disturb me.
So it's also, you know, and
it sounds like
I have some dryness, so that if I'm driving and one eye gets a little dry and the vision fluctuates, I'm fine. because both eyes are targeted for distance. With or without glasses, I see fine. But if that were my driving eye and it were fluctuating because of a little dryness, whoa, I'm going to be in trouble.
Yeah.
So there are advantages and disadvantages. You just need to know about them, right?
Yep.
And I think the answer for your wife is, if she hasn't tried it successfully with if I have a patient who has done it successfully with contacts, I present the alternatives, and the vast majority pass on duplicating the monovision that with which they've been happy. But if they want to do it, easy done. On the other hand, if I have someone who has never done it, I'm glad to give them a shot at it, but I want them to try it with a contact lens for a couple hours in the office. Walk around, look out the window, walk out to your car, sit down and read a magazine, and then you tell me you're happy, then we do it. Yeah. But I would be hesitant for someone who is naive to monovision to have it surgically done and then say, oops, I regret it.
Obviously, I'm not an ophthalmologist.
That's what the doctor said was, he suggested maybe trying it with contacts first.
Totally agree.
To see if she would like it. But he also, it says here that he detected some dry eye. It says dry eye syndrome of the bilateral lacrimal glands, and that you can have issues with contacts if you have dry eye syndrome. Does that sound?
And I'll tell you the one that worries me most, because we are not talking about 20-year-olds here. We're talking about older people. Stairs.
She's 72.
Balance, coordination, proprioception, muscle weakness as we age, and throwing depth perception issues on top of that just worry me.
So many people who were happy with it in their 40s have had decades of experience with it and have readapted their depth perception. But take someone who is already at that older point and abruptly imposing it can be more of a problem.
And that's the thing that concerns me as I'm sitting here listening to you two, is if it were my wife...
You wouldn't do monovision.
I would not do monovision because, she's going to be going up and downstairs. It's a compromise, and I want to have the best vision I can get.
Correct. So but just as a footnote to what your ophthalmologist said, with dry eyes, that would not be a problem for her doing an hour and a half test in my office to see if she tolerated it, reading, looking out the window, walking out to the parking lot. I'm not saying make her wear contacts for the next 6 months. No, just give it a few hours. I think over that period of time, you can say, oh, this is awful. I don't know how they drive with this, right? Or you may say, I can do this.
Fine.
I could do this. So she should just...
Am I understanding that if you did the monovision option, that there can be depth perception issues with that?
Yes, always.
It's an inherent compromise in depth perception.
Yes.
No sense.
Okay.
No question. Okay?
Okay. And he seemed to kind of steer away.
Go ahead.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
Nope. After you.
What you're saying is what he was basically saying, that, there can be issues because it works for one person, it might not work for the other person. Try the conduct. So are you saying that we could ask to go in there and have them fit her with a couple of, monovision contacts, and she could try it first like that?
Right. Now, it's not an ideal simulation because you're looking through the cataracts, but at least it gives you an idea. You could get behind the wheel. Now, it would be best if you could also, check it out at night and things like that. But just having an hour or two with the contacts, walking around the office, walking out to the parking lot, would give you an idea if this kind of vision, that would not be so long that your dry eyes would be a problem. Someone else is going to put them in. Someone else is going to take them out. So you don't have to learn all the complexity of contacts. You can just say, I just want to see if I can tolerate it for a few hours. And that would give me an idea of whether I want to commit to it or take advantage of the current technologies that give you a range of vision with each eye so that the eyes go back to more normal, natural binocular function that gives you that better perception going up and down stairs, parking the car.
Yeah, I hear the music there, Doctor. Can I... I got a question that you said something about. Should I wait till after you... your break.
We have to take a break, but go ahead and sit tight, and we'll answer one more question for you.
Yeah, okay. Stay right there, John. We'll be back with more Leading Edge Medicine after this break, and then we are going to be talking about DHEA in just a moment. Stay right there. We've got Dr. Jerry Mixon here and Dr. Michael Gilbert talking about the eyes. And John, you had one more question about the cataract surgery.
Ask away.
Yes.
Yes. Did you say, Dr. Gilbert, that there is another option you would prefer or use if you wanted to get away from using glasses versus this monovision option?
Yes, absolutely. The technologies in multifocal lenses and enhanced monofocal lenses, which is the newest technology, increase the range with fewer and fewer optical aberrations to achieve that. That is the technology. If I were having eye surgery today, that's the technology that I would use.
Okay, so we could go back in and ask them.
Yes.
Right. Ask about an enhanced monofocal. I think that would be the technology that I would choose today.
Enhanced monofocal.
Enhanced monofocal.
Or
the two lenses approved in the United States for that are Vivity, V-I-V-I-T-Y, and Eyehance, E-Y-E-H-A-N-C-E.
Two different companies.
Comparable technology.
Okay, so the two options in enhanced monofocal is Vivity or in enhanced, what was it, the second one, please?
Enhanced monofocal or a multifocal lens. And I just said that I would personally choose the enhanced monofocal today based on benefits and side effects.
Okay, so enhanced monofocal and the two are either Vivity or maybe I'm
Eyehance.
Getting confused here.
Those are the two in that category that I would personally choose. But if you were listening a little earlier, the gentleman who was so enthusiastic had a multifocal lens called Synergy.
Synergy.
The advantage of that technology, it gives the broadest range distance to much closer.
Yeah, with either one of those options, do you get away from using glasses?
That's the whole point of the technology.
Yeah, all of the modern lenses that allowed you to see at a variety of distances, the whole idea is to get rid of glasses completely.
Right.
Okay.
Without
multifocal
sacrificing
or enhanced mono.
The depth perception.
Okay, so no depth perception issues with either of those technologies.
Right.
Okay, multifocal synergy or enhanced monofocal. If I ask them about either one of those, they'll know what I'm talking about.
They absolutely will.
Okay, versus monovision. Okay. All right, thank you, Doctor.
Yes, sir. Good luck.
Very good.
Thank you.
Thank you for the call. And you can call in, too, if you have an eye question for Dr. Michael Gilbert from Northwest Vision Institute or Dr. Jerry Mixon here to talk about things that are bothering you, your health, things that as you're getting older, it's like, what's going on? Okay. In fact, Dave has a question about a hormone, DHEA. Is that right?
Yep.
Hi, Dave. Welcome to Longevity, Leading Edge Medicine.
That's good. Yeah, Dr. Mixon, I wanted to know, I'm a patient at Longevity, and I have been for 5 or 6 years. On DHEA, I did something that, you know, I consulted Dr. Google, and because I take DHEA, and I'm starting to have hair loss, and I had heard something about DHEA and hair loss. Tell me what you know, which I'm sure is a lot, but what should I know?
Well, dehydroepiandrosterone is a pro-hormone made in your adrenal glands. You had quite high levels of it in your youth, and as you age, your adrenals are producing less and less of it. It can be turned into multiple other hormones. Okay, you can take DHEA and convert it into testosterone or estrogen or cortisol, and it turns out that in some hair follicles, that especially with the male pattern hair loss, those hair follicles are genetically coded to take the DHEA and turn it into briefly testosterone, and then the testosterone into dihydrotestosterone, and the dihydrotestosterone then causes those hair follicles to miniaturize, to get smaller and smaller and smaller, and eventually to stop growing hair completely in those particular follicles. And those hair follicles for most people tend to be right up on the crown, on the very top of the head, and to the forward. And so we end up keeping a fringe of hair above the ears and around the backside, kind of like the old monk's tonsure. That's why many people, as they age, are starting to lose some hair. And that's they're genetically coded to convert that DHEA into dihydrotestosterone. The DHT is what miniaturizes the hair follicle. Now, we can
Okay, so would it be wise to stop taking extra DHEA if that's what, I mean, how do you know if that's what's happening?
If what you want to do is to keep your hair, and right. I would keep the DHEA because it does a lot of good stuff for us.
Okay.
But you can also, we have some compounds like minoxidil that we can put on your scalp that will block the conversion of DHEA into DHT in those hair follicles. So each morning, you just spray a little bit of this on your scalp, rub it in, then comb your hair. And it comes as a foam. It's about, I don't know, $20-some dollars a month. You spray it on each morning and night before you go to bed. Let it dry over a matter of 2 or 3 minutes, and you block that conversion to dehydrotestosterone.
Now, does the minoxidil, does that work on all parts of your scalp or just in certain areas?
Well, it will work wherever you happen to put it.
Okay.
And then it comes down to which of your hair follicles are genetically coded to be lost with exposure to the DHT.
Because I'm seeming to just be getting thinner, like on just on the right side in the front, you know?
Yeah, and that just happens to be where your hair distribution has that particular genetic trait in those hairs.
Okay. So minoxidil would be what you would say, give that a shot.
Minoxidil works very, very well. There's an even stronger version that we can use that has other hormones added to it. But the minoxidil is cheap, effective, and if you use it twice a day, works pretty darn well.
Okay. Well, then that's what I guess I'll have to give that a try because it's one of the,
I always have joked that one of the few things I got going for me is I'm not overweight and I had all my hair. So I can't lose 50% of that. You know what I mean?
I do understand. And you know, at 77, my hair is getting thinner and mm-hmm. you know, I wish it wouldn't.
As he says that, he's looking at mine and says, thank God I don't look like him.
Yeah, his is thinner than mine, so, you know, so it's all...
I can blame that on my dad. I have a world great more hair than he did at my age, but yeah. Nonetheless, I'm conscious about it. But I think one of the things Dr. Mixon hasn't mentioned is longevity has a very targeted hair maintenance and restoration program.
Yes,
so,
we do.
I think it's, you know, you ought to know about that because it's much more than just the minoxidil that you can do at home. Different elements, the red light laser cap that delivers energy to those follicles and
increases the blood supply.
That's right, and some sure. micro treatments to the scalp. That yeah, all of which can help regrow some of that which is failing you.
That's right. Now we can take out growth factors out of your platelets and put them into your scalp.
That's right.
And we can even get some growth factors that are extracted from placentas that will help trigger new hair growth. So, you know, the minoxidil is to help prevent you from losing it, but then we can do other things to regrow
to
some of
it. Bring back some of that which is lost.
Yes.
Very good. Hopefully
okay.
that's helpful for you, Dave.
Yes.
Very good.
Right. We're going to go to... Give them a call. Right, that's you. An easy analysis.
That's right.
And no yep. cost analysis for that. With telemedicine.
We're taking a break. We'll be right back.